Why don't you open to 1 Corinthians, 11th chapter. Then put a marker over in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And then make a bet we'll get there. Hallelujah, Jesus. When we begin, it'll be at the first verse. There's basically three kinds of worship. One is classified worship and the other praise. The last is celebration. Celebration is when your body gets involved. Wants to jump up, down, and run, and dance. Celebration. Praise is generally when you're praising and singing songs of praise together, usually, about the works of God and who He is. Praise goes together good with confession. But then the one that has to do with you more on a personal level is worship. The celebration, body gets involved, dancing, praising, shouting. Praise when you're singing of His wondrous works and how great He is. But worship is adoration. And that's you to Him. It's your heart to His. More along the lines, I love You. I glorify You. I magnify You. I exalt You. Extol You. I lift You up. It's you towards Him. And that's the one we're mostly going to be looking at. That is the one that the Holy Ghost dropped me off at. Probably changed my life as drastically as anything. We'll call this worship on a personal level. Hey, when we're going through these hours, somebody else may be up leading and just playing or playing and singing. You can sing along with them if you want to. Or you can break off into private worship using your own words, choosing your own to tell Him how much that you love Him, adoration and glorifying. When we're in this long 3-hour time, you don't have to stay in your chair. You can get up and wander around while you worship Him and adoring Him and praying. And now, one thing with private worship, any kind of worship, there's got to be a participation. There is a be quiet and know that He's Lord. There is a sitting still and quietly in His presence and listening. But that's not exactly the reason we're gathering together. We're gathering together to learn about mostly private worship. What it'll do to your life. What it'll add to your walk. If you do it and stay with it, it'll add a whole dimension to your walk. It's absolutely incredible. Now, I thought private worship was just for worship leaders because I had no idea what it would do to the teaching gift He gave me. I had no idea what it would do to praying for people outside of church. Had no idea what it would do to the prayer cloths, praying for somebody over a phone. Private worship has everything to do with that anointing that comes, that belongs to the believer, not the office. Mighty apostle, prophet, evangelist, miracles, healing, the ones that you identify those offices with. We are talking about the anointing of the believer. Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper. You know, domestic vacuum queen. You know, we're talking about these signs will follow them that believe. Lay hands on the sick will recover. We're talking about a presence of God that wants to come, take up residency in the geographical area that you walk in. Now, I was a year overdue. The Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, the revelation gift, tried to drop me off on the worship limb a year before I broke in. Did you do it? No. No, I went with the youth group to Oklahoma City to a passion play. It was really a good play. Angels flew on wires. Hell was hot. And everybody had so much talent, it was incredible. Nobody missed a note, a key, nothing. The whole thing was impeccable. There was just one problem. No anointing. No anointing. So on the way home, I was musing before God, you know, communing in my heart. I said, what would it take to get an anointing into something like that? Boy, he came right back and said, you could find out if you go home and worship me all night. Did I? Ask me, did you? No. I thought it was just, you know, a suggestion, like a answer to a question or something. Well, a year went by. And I was standing here, right here. And I had my hands up and somebody was ministering in a prayer line. And all of a sudden, I felt a breeze come through. I found out later I'm the only one that had the experience. It came through and it just blew me down by myself. But at the time, I didn't know if I was going up or down. When I found myself on the floor, I knew where I went. It was down. I got so far out in the Spirit, He began to talk to me. And He gave me instruction because He knows if He gives me instruction, I know what they are. You'll find me dead at the foot of Instruction Mountain rather than stop. I just won't stop. So I was laying there and He said, you don't know anything about worship. That's not very nice to say, I don't know anything about worship, but He said it. He said, you don't know anything about worship. I started protesting. I was on the ninth day of a fast. And so He said, you don't know anything about worship? And I said, okay. Well, what do I do about fasting? He says, I did not tell you not to fast. But fasting can't give you what worship can. And worship can't give you what fasting can. I did break it. He told me to do something hard. So I broke the fast, okay. But then He said something to me that day. He says, look, many men and women of God have just majored on one key, and many of them claimed, it's my ministry to teach on that key. They just majored on one key, so just one door was locked, and just that benefit was what they had. He said, even if they don't teach on the other keys, they're supposed to use them to unlock the things of God. So He says, people will just major on one key, and that's all they'll have the benefit of. Like some just worship. And others go way over on fasting. And others, and others, and others. I start feeling a little guilty. Because I'm with everybody says, you go overboard on praying in tongues. I start feeling a wee bit guilty. I have to admit, it lasted a microbe of 1/10 of a second. Then the guilt was over. Felt a wee bit guilty because I'm thinking, I put all my key, my eggs in one basket, that'd be praying in tongues. Well, He knew what I thought. Immediately He came back, says, fortunately, the one that you gave yourself to is a revelation gift and is producing all the other ones. So I'm a year late, but He drops me off. Drops me off on the worship limb. Say, you don't know nothing about it. I'm thinking, yeah, I do. He says, I want you to worship this long. He gave me so many hours to worship. And there's a variation between the two, the hour. There was 2-hour variation. He says, not less than this. He says, and up to this much. You can do more if you like, but try to get this more, this, and not any less than this. So He gave me that instruction. So I went into my sound booth, closed the door, no music, no nothing. Turned all the lights out. Me, myself, and I, and God was in there. I had no music, nothing. Say, why didn't you want music? Because I didn't want any help, no aid whatsoever. I wanted to break in to worship. I mean, you can't always have music. Well, I'll have a sun battery on a little disc CD out in the jungle somewhere, and the sun will run my worship tape. Yeah, well, what if a big native comes along and breaks your little machine? What if you get thrown in prison between Olga and Uga, who do not shave their legs? And every time you go, I love you, Jesus, one of them hits you with a chain. Is that conducive to worship? It's conducive to crying a lot, I can tell you that. I wanted to break in. So I just went in and started. Well, I'll jump ahead this time. Just tell you this part. After about 2 months, 3 months, it seemed like right after one camp meeting and we ran into another. That's when I found out that everything He is in that presence. First, He started coming just short time. First, it was just harder than anything just to stay in. And after a while, He started coming and visiting me for periods of time. Then He came and stayed longer and longer and longer. It was after He was staying longer, I found out everything He is in that presence. That one that comes that you break into in private worship. On the way back from Oklahoma City, I had a vision. Rock landing in pond. One ripple made it from the rock, and then another one followed it. And these ripples followed each other all the way to every nook and cranny that was it separated from the main pond. And I said, what is this? When He was able to answer me, He said, the first wave fills your spirit up with My presence. If you keep going, the second wave baptizes your sense man, the emotional realms of the soul. And if you keep going, you'll have a Smith Wigglesworth experience, or He'll baptize the geography that you walk in. I mean, people tried to get past Him. How would you like to still be a plumber? Have the town people stand on the railroad track, and the train can't go through because you're on the track. And then drag the man off and won't let the train go until He gives them a miracle service. While He's still a plumber. People would walk by and say, my God, man, you convict me of my sins. And just break down and weep like a baby. Why? Baptism of the geography. He'll come and rest around you. And people will know it. That's when I found that everything He is was in that presence. These signs, O Mary Wallpaper and Joe Public, will follow them that believe. These signs. First noticed it when I went to Phoenix, Arizona, an old, old friend of mine, and ministered their miracle service. And I ministered until I was just so tired, and they took me in the back, and I sat there recovering. I was tired from travel. I was tired from everything. I'd been worshiping privately approximately 3 months. So that was the night it showed up. Pastor's wife come back and she had jammed her thumb up and it hadn't worked in a couple of years. She couldn't bend it over that far. She said, would you pray for me? I said, yes, ma'am. And I started to reach my hand up and try to bend it to see how far I could bend it. Don't ask me why we do that. What difference does it make? But you want to satisfy yourself that it won't bend? I started to bend it, but I got my hand up and went towards it like that. And He comes in, and it was that same familiar presence, not the anointing that came in the service on my gift. That one goes home when you do, usually. I reached forward with my hand. He goes, whoosh, just fills that room. And I go, whoa. And I put my hand on her thumb and started to bend it. Started to say the name of Jesus and got it about half out. Because her thumb bent all the way over with the pressure that I put on it. Just bent it. And she goes, oh my God, I didn't even hardly get Jesus out. She goes, oh my God. I was as shocked as she was, but I didn't want to admit it. I go, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I got it together. That's when the elder's kid, E.K., come running over. He's born blind in one eye. As I put my hand over his eye, and the same thing came. And took my hand off his eye, he was looking back at me. He ran out to the auditorium and screamed. And there's some kind of big fit went on out there. And I'm trying to figure this out. First your spirit. First your spirit. Then there's a baptism of the senses. He talks about that when he said, don't be drunk on wine where it's excess. Be filled with the Spirit speaking to yourself. Who are you ministering to? Speaking to yourself. Yourself. And psalms and hymns and spiritual songs making melody in your heart to the Lord. Be not drunk on wine. What part of an alcoholic does alcohol affect? Is it not their senses? Does it impair them? Wally Cox thinks he can whip the governor of California at the end of the bar. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Why? After two tequilas. Come on. Come on, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're not evaluating things in the light they exist in. Your senses have been impaired by alcohol and you're about to get the beating of your life. What did he say? Be not drunk on wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How? Ministering to yourself. How are you going to do that? That's what we're going to teach you for the next 3 hours. Ministering to yourself. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, the whole thing's true. You're not moving God. For crying out loud, what does he have to do to convince you he wants to move? It's not his fellowship with you. It's your fellowship with him. His has always been available. But now you're going to stay in his presence and tell him how much you love him until you start this rocking the pond baptism. And when it gets to your senses, your senses are going to be impaired. And this is how they'll be impaired. God will say, I want to do this miracle for you. Used to your senses will say, he can't. But now that your senses are coming under the baptism of his presence in worship, they'll start agreeing with what you're saying that you can't see. The pendulum will go to the side of faith because you're having trouble doubting. Your senses are being impaired. You're getting baptized in the new wine. Make a guy wonder why he ever fell out of worship. How about never got in? Well, our camp meeting here, somebody brought a lady. She's a Baptist. And somebody picked this one up. And the lady that brought her wanted prayer. But she wasn't going to wait. She said, well, won't you just stay till I get into prayer? She says, no, I want to go home right now. Right now. I said, bring her back to talk to me. I says, won't you just wait? Nobody will bother you. You can wait back here while this other lady gets prayer. She goes, no, I want to go right now. I says, okay. And I looked down, and she had a brace on her arm. I said, well, what happened to your arm? She says, well, it's cracked. And I says, does it hurt? She says, oh, yes. I said, look, do you mind if I pray for you? You're not going to fall down. And I'm not going to go wild. I'm not going to yell or nothing. Just, can I? She says, okay. Okay, then can I go? Yeah, you can go then. So I just reached up just so gently, you know. Jesus. Jesus. Do it. So she just looked at me kind of strange and went on home. And the next day she woke up and all the pain was out of her arm and it was mobile. She's a school teacher. So she calls her friend up on the cell. And she says, my arm doesn't hurt. I told the other teachers, they're really funny people, but God hears them. She wanted to come back. Well, those were good, good miracles from the anointing of the believer, from private worship. Same presence that came and stayed from pounding and pounding my flesh, pounding my soul, bringing myself under subjection hour after hour to tell him what I think about him. It wasn't changing God. It was changing me. Me. I already had a good anointing that come on my gift. Just when got in cloths, they went to hospitals, went over the telephone. This thing goes everywhere. Now in this private worship, you have to participate with God. I mean, you're totally welcome to come here on these Friday nights and sit down and just enjoy the presence. If that's what you want to do, you can come and sit down and read your Bible and enjoy the presence. If that's what you want to do, or you can come and sit there and pray in tongues and enjoy the presence that is here. If that is what you want to do. But if you want to come to join in on what the rest of us are breaking in on, then going to find out just what happens when a person worships God long enough to break through to the other side of the flesh and let that baptism begin of your spirit, then of your sense man, and finally, your geography. He comes in the same room you're in, and everybody knows it. But I had no idea. I thought private worship was for him. You know what? Me. I don't mean, you know, the presence gift. I mean, in the talent I have to lead worship. I thought it was to enhance theirs. After all, it was worship. And you have no idea what it'll do to your teaching gift, your witnessing gift. You know, when you witness from time to time, an anointing will come. You don't have to think of what you say. You have no idea what invoking His presence to come and stay with you on purpose will cause to that gift. Buddy, not only will you testify Jesus, but He'll perform for you. You hearing me? Is it worth the hours it takes? You got your whole life ahead of me. You tell me. This will be the least of it you'll want to get into. This will be the least. When you come here these 4 hours to meet with us, I want to teach you about how to couple together private worship with your confession. See? I want to teach you how that you and him lock in and worship while they're doing other music, or how we join in corporately and worship him together. But one thing it's going to do, it's going to launch you into a private lifestyle. After he starts the baptism, and he comes like he's never come before, then it's going to pull you into private times. You have no idea what a deliberate, on purpose, spending time with him, you telling him how much you love him hour after hour will do. So I had no idea what it would do to my teaching gift. I would have no idea what it would do to my entrepreneur gift, the ability to make money. I have no idea what it would do to your healing gift. I mean, what would you think to have God come in the general presence of all and who He is and follow you around because of the level of fellowship you have with Him? What do you think you'd do? Well, here, we're going to begin it. Now, of course, today, I was going to get into Ephesians 5 and show you what worship has to do with His covering and Jesus' provision for you. You break into private worship till His presence comes in any amount, and you're going to begin to find out where the real roots of the blessings are rooted in. He said, for He's the head of the church and the Savior of the body, and it's the same verse. Head means covering, and He is the Savior. The word for Savior there is better translated, Savior as out of sin, but provided righteousness. Out of sickness, but provided healing. Out of poverty, but provided what? His inheritance. When He said He's the covering of the church, and He's also the provider of the body. And word for head is not only covering, but provider. That's why He said a man prophesying or praying with his head covered dishonors his head. The head he dishonors is Christ, because some woman has been forced to rise up and cover His life and provide for it. And that's insulting to Christ, because it's an insinuation that He hasn't met your need. What do you think you'll do when you get to know Him so thoroughly that you have no trouble understanding Him as provider? After all, the same teaching in Ephesians 5, same teaching. He goes on to say, look, I'm talking about a marriage between a man and a woman, but what I'm really talking about is the relationship that Christ has with the church. And He says the man is the head of the woman, which meant provider and covering. And it's an insult when a woman has to cover a man. You're insinuating that Christ has not met your need, and it is disrespectful to Him. So what do you think that your private worship is going to do for your provision when He's talking about Christ and the church with the relationship that can be between a man and a woman? When's the last time you slipped your hands up and took an hour and said, I don't want nothing? I'm just going to sit here and tell you, me to you, how much I love you. When's the last time you done that? Do you have any idea what will begin to happen? The year that I broke through, I left here and went to Cleveland, Tennessee. 1 week turned into six. Just Lee College alone, we sent four major miracles back. Bakersfield at the Bible College there, six people come in on crutches and walkers. Six left without them. You tell me. Well, I'm nobody. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. So you can sit there and read or pray in tongues. But in order for true worship to take place, it's not how loud you shout or how quiet you talk, but what's in your heart you must articulate in words and tell Him. It doesn't have to be emphatic. You don't have to be running. You can walk back and forth, but it isn't how flowery and the big words you choose, such as, oh, dear Lord, Thou art the great celestial go-between, the troubled waters of mankind, myself. The many ways that I could tell you that I adore you, the exegesic words of my mouth are paralleled and second only to the beauty of a comet that passes through our hemisphere. Why don't you try? I just want to tell you, I love you. I glorify you. I magnify you. It isn't how many flowery words you choose. It's you stopping and pouring everything you are into every statement of adoration. When we only have a mere 4 hours, like tonight, my suggestion is this. Don't let your mind turn your mouth loose to a kind of lip service. You'll start worshiping, and when it turns into a couple hours private, especially if there's no real heavy anointing spurring you on, what'll happen, your mind will wander off down the block wanting to solve problems from yesterday. But you can hear yourself in the distance going, I love you, I love you, but your old mind's down there working on some problem. You're not there. A kind of lip service. Now, eventually, if you're spending hours and hours in private worship and you hit those times, I can tell you the law of confession will kick in. It doesn't matter if your mind wanders around all day long while you're saying, I love you, I love you. Eventually, your soul is going to transform you to what you're saying. It may take longer, but he's going to start coming anyway. That when you only have a few hours, it would be good to practice his presence. Your soul walks off down the street solving some great problem. Bring it back. Say, look, I'm in the presence of a king. I'm going to offer protocol. I'm going to bring this king a gift. And it's me. Here I am. I'm all you want, and I know that. You want me. So here I am. And while I'm in your presence, if my mind's not going to be wandering around while the rest of me's doing lip service, for the mirror time we have now, I'll pull my mind back and I'll empty it into each statement of adoration. Later, if you lock yourself up for a day and you let it wander around a few hours, eventually you're going to get the results. But when you're in a public service like this, I would take advantage of it to practice his presence, because you'll release him to come a whole lot quicker. See, in my prayer closet, I practiced his presence. My mind would wander off 100 times. I'd go get it and bring it back. What a fight. But boy, when he started coming, there was no going getting my mind. It got so suspended in his presence, I'd go get me a big old hot cup of tea and set it there. Kept my throat lubricated, you know. It gets steaming hot, and I'd take a little sip and loosen my throat, and I'd go back in it. I love you. I worship you. I really do. I glorify and I magnify. Those are the days his presence was coming and staying longer and longer. Sometimes after I'd worship him a few minutes, I'd reach over to get my tea and take a little drink. It would be cold. I'd been lost for 2 hours. It will come. Second thing, you're going to be worshiping in here and people around you look like they're feeling things and you're not. Don't ever think that you're not getting through. In fact, you're getting through more than when he's dancing on your head. Because you wouldn't have the dancing on your head if you didn't plow through the flesh. All the angels of heaven gather. Your flesh can't stop you. The Pharaoh's behind you, Red Sea in front of you, desert on both sides. But you just raise your hands up like none of them exist and say, have I told you today that I love you? All the angels come and say, we got a hot one here. Look, nothing else could go wrong and he won't quit worshiping. He can't feel anything. Feels like he's going to die. It's the end of the world. But he won't stop. Contrary. When you can't feel nothing and you're fighting all the hell, that's when you're plowing. One day you'll feel more than you can handle. But not unless you go through this. Does this remind you of anything? Now, like I said, you can read, pray in tongues. But if you're going to appropriate this key, you're going to have the benefits of a baptism of your geographic. You sense, man, you've got to start somewhere. I'm not just talking about in a service. Most of what we get in a service is a grace blessing. We all come world weary. The song leader does his best to pull us up. So after a while, God, in all His grace, comes and gives you some feelings for a while. But generally, when you log on for 3 or 4 hours, the feelings are going to vacate. You're going to be ending up with flesh and a whole lot of things. But don't stop. Don't stop. You're going to make it. And then when He does start coming and staying longer and longer, you can't even get in somebody's presence and lift your hands. And He'll just come. Gary's friend, the truck driver, when I first come out of that closet, you remember that? Remember he had a pack of cigarettes in his pocket. I said, "So would you come over here?" And he stands up there. And I lifted my hands to pray, and he went back to a 45. It goes, whoosh. And I'd take my hands back, and it happened to me in the closet. I'd go like that, and I'd go back to a 45, and I thought, my hands pulled me back. So I went, "Glory." He went, so he goes, I go, "Hallelujah." And he goes, "About a 45. And I go, "What are you doing?" He said, "Something's pushing on me." It was geography. It's not just for us. Goodness gracious. I'd take these hours and I'd look forward. I'd look forward to the next Friday. I would make a decision to sacrifice something else and pick up another hour a day along the way. If I was you, I'd get into this thing in the first quarter of this year and watch how it turns out. Hallelujah. Are you excited? Remember, you continue in this worship. It's going to also change your finances. You can sing what He's singing. Or you can give yourself over to that private worship. You can walk if you like. Get down to your chairs. But just don't stop worshiping Him. You have to participate. There has to be a releasal of the statement. Remember what God prophesied through me about loving Him. He said, "You cannot." No, He said, "I cannot love myself in you, for you." Your new nature, your spirit has the capacity to develop in the love of God, to where this love becomes part of your new creation, part of you, part of who you are. Although it's God's love, it's resident in you because it is a product of the new creation and the life that came from your Father. But His love is developed independently in you as an individual. And when you yield all that you are to His love, and that compassion begins to build in you, then you turn and you give it back to Him. That's what He was talking about. I cannot love myself in you for you. That has got to come from you. So when you make those statements of adoration, "I glorify and love you and magnify you." I like this one. "You're not a man that you can lie. You exalted your word above your name. Heaven and earth passes, your word abides forever. I have what I say. I call myself dead, that I may separate to you all the glory and the praise. I glorify and magnify you." Hallelujah, hallelujah. For the next hour, I'll tell Him how much I love Him. Then at the end of it, I'll say, "The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. Poor have this gospel preached to." Then I may cycle it again and worship Him a whole hour just for doing that. That's "say it again."